Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
All right, people, let's do this. Let's do it.
That song specifically for one person.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Jackson County.
I love it. He posted, Scott did, from the airport that they were off on their, I don't know, 3-4 day little jaunt to go see Joe's family, his sweet friend Joe, his best friend forever. Whom sadly we lost about 5 years ago to cancer. He is off to go spend some time with Joe's family, and I'm thrilled for him.
That is not the person I was talking about that song being dedicated to.
But. Well, we've also got some Frank White news.
Yeah.
We're not going to spend a ton of time talking about this, but it's important enough. We're trying to see if Dave Helling can call in here and help us break this down. We knew going into this election that this was going to be the result, period.
Overwhelming. Yeah, I think you had initially predicted 95-5, and then you pulled it back to 90-10. And, you know, 88-11 is pretty close to 90-10.
I thought it would be a 90% ouster at the polls. It ended up being about 88-11% to recall Frank White.
It was a lopsided landslide.
Of course. We joked in the newsroom, like, who were the 11?
For the first time in Jackson County history, by the way.
For the first time in Jackson County history. Who were the 11? I want to know if you voted to retain him. So he has family.
Yeah.
He has friends. That still doesn't make up 11%.
So the gap was much smaller in Kansas City specifically.
Right.
It was the rest of Jackson County that really drove that 88-11.
Because people got hosed across the board with the property tax issue.
It was also what? 1 in 10 eligible voters turned out.
It was a very small turnout, as these things usually are. And I'll remind you, one of the reasons I said this was going to be overwhelming, somewhere around 90-10, was that people don't go to the polls when they're happy and satisfied to go, yay, you're doing a great job, keep doing it. People go when they are ticked off.
And believe it or not, 10 to 11% for a special election like this, where this is the only question on the ballot, is remarkably high. I mean, we get 10 to 11% for standard votes that are off of the general presidential election year.
Yep.
Where it's only 10 or 11%, and there's, typical, 30 things on the ballot.
Typical municipal elections.
Yeah.
To his credit, he gave this statement: I acknowledge the results of the recall election. I respect the decision of the voters of Jackson County. While questions remain about the process that led to this election, he says, I will move forward guided by gratitude for all this community has given me, and by the drive to do what is right. Now, there is...
He may be acknowledging it, but he is not accepting it.
There is sort of an answer to this recall election, and he's asked the courts to step in and decide whether this was done procedurally the correct way.
Yeah, so we get news Monday night that a Missouri judge had stepped in and denied his petition to cancel the special election. That petition was based on the grounds that they did not get the proper approval from the state election board to hold an election that isn't in one of the four standard election dates, November 4th, April, whatever the four standards are. September 30th is not one of them. Does his petition have merit? Did they fail to get that proper approval? Yes. The Missouri judge stepped in and said that's not enough to cancel the vote. So Frank pushed that petition up to the Missouri Supreme Court.
Appealing to the court.
In theory, and I'm no professional, I'm not a lawyer, but in theory, I do believe that they're supposed to wait until they get either a rejection of hearing that case or a decision to finalize the vote.
So with the interim, there are so many questions now. With the interim Jackson County executive now, does that person get to clean house? Does that person get to start over and bring in their people? Or do you think this is just a wait and see until the courts decide?
So I do believe it's October 6th is when they're supposed to have the vote finalized by, but that could be delayed based on whether or not the Missouri Supreme Court decides to take up this petition. If they take up the petition, who knows how long it could be? The petition specifically states that the vote should have been pushed back to November 4th. So I would think that they would have to make that decision prior to November 4th. And to your point about the interim, they can come in and do whatever they see fit to get what is effectively a giant company back on the right track and get the clients in favor of what that company is doing, the clients being the voters.
Sure.
Because as we saw yesterday, they're not.
One of the things we've talked about over the last year or so on this program is that up until this point, even policy and political wonks that live and breathe for all kinds of things, city and county and even federal government. I don't know before this happened if anyone really understood the amount of power given to the county executive. If anything good is to come from all of what has happened here,
yeah,
I think it's that voters have a much clearer understanding, maybe of not what the Jackson County executive does day to day, but the power that that office wields. And we had someone on here from, I think it was UMKC here about a year ago, who admitted, he said, I follow this stuff religiously. It is in my blood to follow everything that's going on in politics. He said, I'm going to be honest, up until this point, even I did not truly understand all of the power handed to the person in that office. I don't think anybody did. Well, I really don't.
We hadn't had a scandal big enough to really focus the spotlight on that office, right? 2023 was obviously huge. 56,000 property tax assessment appeals. And that's only the folks that, one, knew they could appeal, and two, got that appeal filed within the deadline. I'm sure that number would have been a lot higher had more people known that they could appeal it. And so once you get a scandal of that magnitude, the microscope will be on that position, and we'll finally get to realize, well, wait a minute, the only reason we didn't look into this before is because there hadn't been this big of a mess up.
We'll take
in the past, it's politics as usual, and a lot of people just don't want to get involved.
They don't want to get involved. We'll take a couple calls on this.
This was a tangible thing for voters. This actually was a tangible thing they could touch.
913-586-7798. Dan, I will ask you, while Sam is going to the phones, you were eligible to vote. You did vote.
Yes.
I do think it also underscores the importance of citizens having a voice on a variety of issues. You remember when all of this started, people were looking to the government to fix this. How can this office do this to us with our property taxes? Where do we go for help? Really, in the end, when the history books are written about this, it was the people that took back the control and said, this is not okay.
Well, in the end, the people have the control and the power because we do have the power of the vote.
We might take a couple of calls on this. Did you vote? And what do you think about the process moving forward from here? 913-586-7798. Is there a better way? Is there a different way? And if you are one of the homeowners that got stuck with hundreds of percentage of increase in your property taxes, does this somehow offer you some level of reassurance that, not that you're going to get your money back, but there might be a path forward to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Oh, you're not getting your money back.
I don't think anyone's getting their money back.
Now, if in 2027 we use Tyler Technologies to do the reassessments a third time, I would expect rioting in the streets.
Let's go to Becky in Kansas City real quick. Hey, Becky.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Hey, I was just calling in. Like everyone else, kind of a little taken aback by how much power jurisdiction the county executive has. And I'm kind of confused as to where that overlaps with the governor and his jurisdiction and how that all plays out. Like, where does it overlap? What kind of power does he have? And who can explain it?
It's a great question. It's a great question, Becky. That is above my pay grade. We're trying to get Dave Hellingen here to help explain some of that. I will tell you this. I think that power is going to shift. I don't know that there's any other way forward after this has happened. There has to be a better set of checks and balances. And I think just with business as usual from year to year, as Sam pointed out, without a scandal, I don't think anyone realized that a single person or office has the power to boot you out of your home. That's really what this came down to. People lost their homes because of the decision of one office.
It's county-led.
That should scare everybody.
It was county-led gentrification. There was no other way to explain it other than county-driven gentrification. And I can understand why Jackson County voters were very upset and obviously had their voices heard yesterday.
The athlete-turned-politician, by the way, has stated publicly that he does not plan to rerun for his seat in 2026. Can you imagine?
The hilarity.
Election to recall him cost $2 million from the Jackson County General Fund. And if you were one of the ones that wanted him out, you got your wish in a landslide last night. 913-586-7798. Much more straight ahead on Dana and Parks, including louder and louder calls to change the way we define autism. We have a specialist calling in on that very subject after a great article in the New York Times overnight on that. Stick around for that. You are listening to Dana and Parks.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He says he acknowledges the results. Jackson County Executive Frank White is out in a historic vote, a landslide at 88-11%. And former Kansas City Star reporter, my former work husband, there are very few people that understand more about this and how it affects you than Michael Mahoney or Dave Helling. And Dave, we reached out to you first, not that Michael was not on my short list. And we appreciate your time and your expertise in where we go from here.
Yeah, now let me just say real quickly, with Mike Mahoney and Dave Helling, you better call quickly because we don't have a lot of time left. I mean, it's not like, well, we'll get to him next year, you know. I mean, we're pushing outside of that envelope.
Oh, my God, I love you both. Hey, did you hear one of our listeners had a question this last hour? We were talking about, Dave, how few people really understood how much power this office held until they started losing their homes. Where do we go from here, and does that power dynamic somehow change moving forward?
Yeah, well, it's more complicated than just, hey, the county executive has a lot of power. The county really only has a couple of jobs, Dana, but one of them is to collect taxes, property taxes, not only for the county, but for schools and for cities and everyone else, and run the appraisal process. And that is an enormous responsibility and an enormous power. And frankly, it's one that Frank White never understood. I mean, that's why he got crushed, because it affects almost everybody who pays property taxes. People hate property taxes in general anyway, because they're based on a guess of what your house is worth. And it's money that you don't see because you're not selling your house. So you end up paying higher taxes on a guess about, you know, imagine, I've said this before, imagine going to a grocery store and the checkout person says, you know what, I think you've got like $100 worth of goods in that basket, and assessing you taxes on that guess. It just makes people mad. And Frank White never got how mad people were, and he sort of insulted them a little bit by, you know, not trying to fix it and to accuse people of bad faith, and he got crushed yesterday for that. I think that was the primary motivator for most people.
So what happens now? I mean, we have word that there could be some sort of challenge procedurally in the way this went down. I think if you live or work in Kansas City, certainly in Jackson County, you just want to move forward with somebody who understands what they're doing in this office.
Right. And in fact, I helped the Star write their editorial today about the outcome. And we said, you know, Frank White ought to think about resigning now. I mean, if the vote had been close, maybe you continue the legal battle, which you're almost certain to lose anyway. But when you lose by 70 points or more than 70 points, that's a pretty clear message that people want someone else. And so he might as well step aside and let the process of replacing him begin. But the other thing to keep in mind, Dana, is they'll go through, you know, they've got 30 days for a temporary county executive and then an interim for the rest of Frank White's term. But anyone who thinks the property tax problem is going to be solved overnight is going to be in for a rude awakening. It's been growing for years. It's a very difficult thing to untangle. And this is so important to understand. Every time you try to fix the property tax system, in terms of appraisals anyway, you make things worse 5 years from now or 6 years from now. If you set a cap on everyone's value, well, that just distorts things even more further down the road. So the next county executive is going to have to spend real time and real energy trying to untangle a mess that's been a disaster for a decade or more. And I know we'll all be paying attention to the politics of it, but fixing it overnight is not going to be easy.
Is there any path to temporary relief for the homeowners who got the rug pulled out right out from underneath them? I mean, you wrote some of the stories,
you know,
Dave.
There may be with the state tax commission or legal redress, but in terms of policy decisions, that's highly unlikely. Now, Gail McCann Beatty, who's the assessor, is probably out.
You think?
Pretty quickly. But what does that change? If they made you assessor tomorrow, which would be an interesting thing to see, frankly, but if they made you assessor tomorrow, what steps would you take or could you take to provide immediate relief? And the answer is not many.
Not many.
Because there are so many tens of thousands of properties in the county, and the process is very tangled. And every time you fix one person's problem, you potentially create a problem for someone else. Someone else has to pay what you are not paying. And that's why I said in the editorial today, you know, pay attention to what cities are doing and school boards are doing in terms of their levies, because that's part of this problem as well as housing prices have gone up. I mean, it costs more to buy a house. And so any real appraisal system will reflect that. So fixing all of this is going to be a long, hard, difficult slog, but it's clear that the people of Jackson County want it fixed as quickly and as fairly as possible.
Do you have any insight, Dave, in how other counties have handled this? We are not the only county that has had these issues. We are not the only county where the housing prices are going up and you need more money. Like, there has to be another town similar to ours that has done this well.
You come over to Johnson County, where you and I live, people are wailing about their property appraisals.
Yeah.
And complaining about the levies and going down to the county and saying you're spending too much money. I mean, it's not unique to Jackson County. It may be more difficult in Jackson County because you have so many different strata of properties and valuations, and there are so many places to go. And maybe Gail McCann Beatty and Frank White didn't do a good job, and that prompted some of the complaints. But the idea that somehow Jackson County uniquely struggles with property taxes is just false. They're a problem everywhere. How about Wyandotte County? Wyandotte County is going out of its mind with property tax increases and appraisals that they're worried about. So So, you know, this is a problem that needs to be fixed. Certainly, you know, Florida is thinking of abandoning property taxes, period.
Because, Dave, talk about just the logistics of having a staff, which there's not a budget big enough to do, to physically have someone go inspect every single property to get this right. No one is going to be able to make that happen.
Right. And here, people hate property taxes, Dana, hate them. And here's why. They're an estimate. You don't know how much your house is worth until you sell it. So somebody comes out and sort of guesses what your house is worth. And then you don't see that money, that extra money, until you sell.
Right.
But you'll be taxed on that gain, unrealized gain, when the property tax levy is set. That makes people mad. And then you compare it to other people in your neighborhood who may have lower taxes, and this guy just fixed his fence, and my backyard is a mess. And yeah. So everything about the way property taxes are assigned and appraised and assessed makes people mad. So that's the starter. And then you screw it up like Frank and Gail did, and they go out of their minds with anger. Yeah. And that's why you see a 70-point margin, and that's why the next county executive, whoever it is, has to make fixing that job one.
And good luck. And I would ask you this, Dave, do you want to be the guy that replaces the guy or the guy that replaces the guy that replaces the guy?
Well, if it were me and I was king of the forest, which I am not, I would recommend to the legislature that they pick someone for the interim who will not be a candidate for the full-time job in 2026. That way you can have somebody who can come over, start on this process, break a few emergency glasses.
Yep.
And because it's going to be hard and it gets tougher every time, because once you distort property values to make people happy, you're just postponing the day of reckoning 2, 4, 6 years down the road. So you're right. You don't want to be the guy that follows the guy that follows the guy. You want the campaign in 2026 to be about fixing property appraisals once and for all in Jackson County. And by the way, working with the legislature, because they play a role, state legislature, and trying to get this problem behind you.
It is Dave Helling. He keeps trying to retire. I don't even know what to call you anymore other than friend.
I don't either.
Formerly retired. You suck at retiring. I'm going to tell you that. You suck at retiring.
I do indeed. And someday I'm going to look back on my career and go, where did I go wrong?
I love you, my friend. We'll talk soon. Be well.
I love you too, Dave.
Bye-bye, babe. 913-586-7798. We'll wrap up our conversation straight ahead. You are listening to Dana and Parks. So if you look into this, the idea of Florida just eliminating property taxes is really a fascinating one. As we continue talking about where the heck we go with the mess that is our county executive office and the taxation of your property in Jackson County and beyond.
I mean, it really means that you never actually own your property,
correct,
right?
You're paying rent back to the government sort of for your property.
And go ahead and stop paying that rent and see what happens, despite the fact that you paid off your mortgage.
Yeah, they'll take your house.
Exactly.
So listen to this. Home prices in Florida rose an astronomical 64% over the last 5 years. 64% in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Property taxes alone increased almost 50% from 2019 to 2024. What they're saying in Florida is, why don't we just get rid of that system and either cut services, raise taxes in other areas, hotels, people traveling.
Maybe take a look at where we're spending all of that money. And you mentioned cut services. Maybe it's not cut services. Maybe it's spend the money more efficiently.
It would be the only and first state to do so. So
yeah.
Like, what would be the fallout? Even real estate agents are like, we don't know. No one has ever thought, what if we just got rid of this system and found the funding for schools, police, and fire somewhere else?
And I'm sure they had the same conversation in states that got rid of income tax. Well, how are we going to pay for everything? Oh, you'll find a way.
913-586-7798. Let's go to Tony in Kansas City. Thank you for your patience, Tony. Go ahead.
Hey, Dana. I'm your carpooling dad / lawyer / former county legislator.
Love it. Lay it on me.
So one of your callers was talking kind of, where does where does the legislature and the county executive derive their power, and where does it fit into state and federal hierarchy? So basically, the statutes govern local governments. Local governments are all kind of there because the state allows them to be an entity. And then when a first-class county of a certain size, such as Jackson County, elects to adopt their own charter form of government, then that becomes the law instead of the statutes being the default.
Got it.
So hopefully that kind of explains a little bit. But I swear, I feel like I was just yelling into a hole when I was there. When we talked about charter review and we talked about charter change, I still think the best thing we could have done was to work with the Mid-America Regional Council, have academics, have community stakeholders, and have, you know, a real open and honest discussion about what are these powers, what powers do we want these different officeholders to have, and what things do we want county government to do in addition to the required ones under state law.
Yep.
And it was always seemingly just about self-interest and, you know, just wanting to have control for the sake of control. Now, granted, I have a political science background, so I'm kind of nerd out when it comes to that kind of stuff. But moving forward, I would say approach it that way, because I think charter reform is the only way that the public is going to get any change. And then the other question is, you know, is the assessor going to be elected at some point?
Yeah.
And I don't have the answer to that. And I thought it was going to happen when the census data came and said that, you know, that we had to do that because of state law. And then, you know, Jeff City, they always talk about causing this to be an elected position. And so now moving forward, it'd be interesting. But in terms of the assessment department, and I say that in quotes, until you build your own assessment department, possibly, and create a team of internal people rather than the folks that you're talking about.
They contracted it out to a third party, and it was a dumpster fire.
Yeah. And full disclosure, I mean, I was there for that, and that's what the administration said. We need this, and this. Please give us the tools to do this right. And so we tried to give them the tools, and then
let me ask you this, Tony, because it was $17 million that was paid to that third party company, Sam. Correct? To
it was a lot. Something
it was a
like
lot
that,
of
yeah.
money to go through the quote assessments, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. most of the homes we know were not even physically assessed.
Right?
Would it not make more sense to take that money somehow and rework it so that you had an assessment department in house that understands this community and this town and the needs and
That's
the property
exactly
values here?
Yes, Dana. Yes. So, to give you an example, I went and I peeled my parents were getting jerked around. So I went and sat down. I went through the whole process and I asked the person, hey, can you show me your screen and show me the comps that you're using to measure against my parents' place?
Yeah.
So I sat down, and I looked at it. They weren't anything near anything like my parents' house. And I said, you know, you're familiar with this neighborhood. And to her credit, the woman with Tyler, she looked at me and she said, these aren't anything near, you know, this isn't anything, these aren't comps.
Right.
And she agreed with me and we figured it out. But it's, you know, not everybody has somebody to go advocate for them.
Correct.
And there's a lot of seniors who are, you know, riding the razor's edge because of this.
So last question, Tony, where do you think we end up from here?
Well, it's interesting. You know, it's always a race for 5 votes, which if you don't like that as a public, then the charter is the way to change it. And everyone says, oh, this shady process or that. Well, okay, you don't have to like it, but I guess it's right there for the reading, you know. So it's not a surprise. It's just it might not be very well understood. And if you don't like it, then the charter is the way to do it. But I would see somebody who's not running again, I'll bet you, who is given a tap for the interim, and that might be the interim, both the next 30 day and then potentially for the remainder of the term, I would think. And what they do with that time, I don't know. I hope that they use it for good and try to rebuild some confidence with the public.
Because the interim person is not going to fix what has happened here. This could take, what, months, years?
Certainly a lot of dramatic changes could potentially restore faith in our leaders, which it seems at least 88% of people do not have that faith right now. He had mentioned whether or not Gail McCann Beatty should become an elected position or the assessor's office. I do believe we're taking that to vote on November 4th. That was one of the vetoes that Frank had issued around the same time that he vetoed the recall vote. And I believe that got overridden as well.
To make sure that someone is qualified to be in that very important, critically important position. I think most people now would say, yes, that needs to be voter approved.
They at least have to make their case where with Gail McCann Beatty, I don't know her history. I don't know what qualifies her to be in that role. But she was just appointed by Frank White.
913-586-7798. And Tony, thank you for the call. We are back with much more straight ahead on Dana and Parks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, coming up here on the Dana and Parks program here in a bit. There was a story in our stack a couple of weeks ago, such a sad story, about an elderly resident of like a assisted living care facility in New York, I believe.
Yeah.
Who had been there one day when she beat her roommate to death. And she's been charged.
Was beaten by her roommate.
Yes, the woman has been charged. I think she's like almost 90 years old. She has dementia. Terribly sad story. And at the time, we were talking about that. And a lot of you were saying, look, this is more common than you think. When you start talking about memory care, there are patients who are confused. There are patients who are agitated.
With that confusion comes anger, typically.
It can come anger. That can come violence. And sure enough, Overland Park police are investigating a memory care facility assault that hurt two residents here locally. And it this breaks my heart. But coming up on the program, we're going to have to talk about this. And what do you do? Two residents of an Overland Park, Kansas memory care facility were injured in an assault today. The Overland Park Police Department said crews were called around 8 a.m. to the facility near 75th and Schweitzer. A 66-year-old man was taken to the hospital with critical injuries. Another 71-year-old man was also hospitalized. He's expected to be okay. Police believe an 84-year-old resident was responsible for the attack. We don't have a lot more information on this up to this point, other than to say so many of you listening have had to make the very difficult decision to put mom or dad in one of these facilities. Yeah. How do you ensure everyone's safety? And it's not possible for a lot of people listening to have the private room. Yeah. Not that that's going to solve all of your problems. In New York, it was a roommate.
They keep those doors open and unlocked most of the time the safety of the patient.
You know, everyone always says, like, the last thing I would ever want to do is end up in a nursing home. Yeah. Like, but the fact of the matter is an enormous percentage of Americans are going to need that level of care at some point. Maybe not for good, but at some point, the majority of us are going to need some level of that care.
And how do you take a memory care patient to trial?
That's the thing in New York. They
don't even know what they did.
They charged that woman. Now, she beat her roommate who was sleeping.
Yeah. With the leg of a wheelchair.
The leg of her wheelchair. Mm-hmm. My God. And yes, she's been charged criminally. So that's coming up on Dana and Parks. We're going to talk about that. Also, we're going to mention Jane Goodall, one of just the all-time great American human beings that we have known. Anthropologist and conservationist, has passed at the age of 91. And our friend, good friend of the program, Randy Wistoff, the former director, now retired of the Kansas City Zoo, is going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour and talk a little bit about Goodall's legacy, her globally recognized work and research with chimpanzees. And if you've never seen like the 60 Minutes piece they did with her, just a good human, died of natural causes at age 91. And we'll talk about that as well. And then coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, it's Parade of Hearts time. And for you guys, a lot of you listening have seen the hearts. Sometimes they're auctioned off at the end of the year. There was one in Brookside that was just in front of a home. Someone purchased it, put it in front of their house. The big heart. I love the hearts. Some of you who own businesses have purchased the hearts. They are changing up the design of those hearts this year. We're going to talk about it, talk about the artists that were selected. The list of artists is long and distinguished.
We have a quick breaking news update.
Oh, yes, please.
The Missouri Supreme Court has denied a request today by Jackson County Executive Frank White Jr. to prevent the certification of Tuesday's recall election, meaning within the next 5 to 6 days, we will have certified results.
It's over.
And he will no longer be the Jackson County Executive.
It's over.
Bye.
You know, and that's with all respect to somebody who gave many years to this city. I think, you know, when the history books are written on his career, this will be an unfortunate asterisk for a lot of people.
Well, he would have been remembered as a hero had he just been a baseball player. And yeah. Quite frankly, had he only been a county executive for however many years before 2022, because he stayed pretty clean.
Maybe he doesn't care. Does he stick around? You think he sticks around?
I don't know. I can't believe that he didn't resign to begin with.
913-586-7798. We will talk happier things when Dana and Parks continues with the hearts that are coming back to Kansas City. A lot less creepy than the bunnies on the plaza. And I get yelled at every time I say that. People
they
will
are
say,
pretty creepy, though.
People say that's one of my favorite memories as a child. Oh, my God, those things creep me out.
They really every do. Spring, every around spring. Easter. Here gotta bring
the
them
flowers.
Out.
Here come the flowers, mm-hmm. And here come the bunnies. We're back with much more straight ahead on Dana and Parks. Stick with us for all of those stories and more. And do not forget, in the 5 p.m. hour, if you have a family member, a close friend, anyone close to you on the autism spectrum, there is a fascinating article out overnight about a push to perhaps change the way we label that diagnosis. And it might surprise you, the parents that are in favor of changing the way we diagnose and label autism.
We've been talking for years about broadening the spectrum.
Why is it? Why is it 1 in 8? Has it gotten too broad? And there's a group of parents who certainly believe that it has. And that is coming up on Dana and Parks as well. Stick with us.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.